You are listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, and today I'm speaking with Michelle Myers. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Emma. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk today.
My pleasure.
So to get started, would you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Like you said, my name is Michelle, and I am the North Carolina field campaigner for an organization called the Center for Biological Diversity. And we are part of a really robust coalition. It's called the Energy Justice North Carolina Coalition to End the Duke Monopoly. And a lot of great groups are part of that, including Appalachian Voices, NC Warn, Friends of the Earth, the Red Tail Hawk Collective. There's actually about 20 organizations in that coalition, but I'm on their steering committee.
Fantastic. And you and I were put in touch because there's an event coming up in Asheville, correct?
That's right. The Energy Justice North Carolina group is hosting something called the Asheville Uprising on Monday, July 22nd, which is coming up, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at the Salvage Station. It's going to be a family-friendly event, and we're going to talk to people about how to get involved in the work of transitioning to renewable energy locally here in Asheville. There'll also be some music. It's going to be fun, there'll be some storytelling with the Fairykin coming, as well as the Street Creature Puppet Theater, too.
Excellent. Well, so can you give us a sneak preview about what some of those ways to get involved might be?
Sure. Yeah, we are actually partnering with a couple local groups in addition to all the groups in that coalition I was mentioning. So Community Roots is one of our partners, and they're actually working to get a ballot initiative placed on the primary ballot next year. And what this ballot initiative will do is establish the rights of nature and of people to have renewable energy. There's something in the Asheville City Charter that enables us to do direct democracy in this way, which is a unique characteristic of Asheville. Actually, there's no other places in North Carolina that have that ability. But other people have done it, or other communities, I should say, have done it around the country. And we think this will really open up and add more pressure to allow energy choice, people to be able to choose renewable energy, which currently is hard to do for most folks under our current utility structure. And that's really the basic premise of the whole event, is that with Duke as our only option for electricity, we can't get to renewable energy. The UN climate report says we have 12 years to make a drastic drawdown and shift away from fossil fuels almost completely. And Duke Energy only is planning to be 12.5% renewable, and that includes some energy efficiency, by 2042. 2042 is when the city of Asheville has set a goal for being 100% renewable, and they recently put out a study saying they can't meet that goal because we only can buy power from Duke, and Duke isn't going to have a renewable energy option. So the Community Bill of Rights is a really important part of how we're going to keep putting pressure on both our local elected officials, but also opening things up at the state level to enable energy choice. And that's really what energy justice is. We know that weather is changing. We know that Duke keeps raising our rates, but they're not providing us with the renewable energy options that we all want to see as we see climate change advancing. And we know we have to make a shift. Renewable energy technologies are out there, and it's really our utility, our only option for electricity, that's standing in the way of us and a renewable energy future.
So the coalition that you're working with, what is the region that it spans across?
Yeah, we're working, it's the North Carolina Energy Justice Coalition. And in North Carolina, there are both rural co-ops and of the service territory of Duke Energy. So really we're focusing in the service territory of Duke Energy, though energy choice can also be applied in rural co-ops as well. But we're focused all across North Carolina.
Fantastic. Can you share any information about what some of the other efforts outside of Asheville look like in terms of fighting this monopoly?
Yeah, so Asheville isn't the only community that has passed some of these 100% resolutions. Durham, I believe Chapel Hill has as well. I think there's actually 20 communities all across the state that have set benchmarks for themselves in shifting to renewable energy. And communities, like the resources that the communities own, like the buildings that the city owns or the buildings that the county owns, they can actually go ahead because they would be using that electricity on site. They can put solar on their roofs. They can use bonds in order to invest in renewable energy and then, you know, over time pay it back and pay off. It actually ends up being cost savings to the cities after they pay back the initial cost of putting on the solar panels because then they don't have electricity bills anymore. And so that's really spreading not just across North Carolina, but across the entire country. I think 110 communities across the country have made this pledge to volunteer to go to 100% renewable in the absence really of federal policy to make this transition. In addition to that, there are people that are fighting some of the negative aspects, the things that aren't justice. You know, when you think of justice, you think, you know, everybody really is getting what they deserve and everything is kind of working in harmony and people are not being put underneath carrying the burden of the fossil fuel infrastructure that our current system relies on. And right now in North Carolina, we know that they're about to build the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, or they're in the process of building the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. And that actually travels through some of the poorest communities in the country, poorest counties in the country, certainly in North Carolina. And I recently learned impacts the most number of indigenous community individuals out of any project in the country. And those folks are predominantly Lumbee, and that is not a federally recognized tribe. So it's challenging for them to sue on that, but they are a protected class of citizen. And it's really unfortunate that in this day when we know we have to shift away from fossil fuels, we're building one of the largest fossil fuel projects right here in North Carolina, selling forests in order to do so, going through communities that flooded during Florence and putting through this pipeline that has a tremendous blast zone. So we have folks in our coalition who are working to fight the Atlantic Coast Pipeline as well as the Mountain Valley Pipeline extension, which goes into North Carolina. And Appalachian Voices has been fighting the Mountain Valley Pipeline for a number of years. That's mostly up in Virginia and West Virginia, but the extension does come down into North Carolina. We're also looking at the governor's executive order 80 and really thinking about what a true shift to a just energy system looks like. There's some great benchmarks that the governor has set, but we also see this contradiction where we're building huge fossil fuel projects at the same time as trying to transition away from fossil fuels. And it doesn't quite make sense. We need to think about how these things work together. So those are some examples. I think communities themselves stepping up and saying, we want renewable energy, which Asheville has. The 2042 benchmark is a good benchmark, but it doesn't meet the UN climate standards saying that we only have 11 years to shift to renewable energy. So at the same time, we would really love it if there was a broader, maybe a statewide solution that really gets us to those UN benchmarks. And we look to our state leadership to really look at creative ways to not just allow Duke to say, well, that would compromise our bottom line, our shareholders wouldn't like that, but actually think about how we can use the technology that's actually available to us to tackle the challenge of our day, which is really to adapt our energy system in a way that is climate friendly.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that. It's really great to hear what's happening all over the state in terms of addressing climate change. So one more time for our listeners, would you repeat the details of your event, just the when it's happening and where?
Sure. So the Asheville Uprising Energy Justice for North Carolina event will be Monday, July 22nd. From 5:30 to 9 p.m. at the Salvage Station on Riverside Drive. And it'll be free, family-friendly. We'll even have some snacks for folks. The Fairykin will be there. We'll have some stilt walkers, puppet theater, and then we'll do storytelling and tell people how they can get involved in our movement to end the Duke monopoly and bring renewable energy to North Carolina.
Fantastic. And if people would like to follow along with this work, where would you direct them?
They can go to energyjusticenc.org And the Energy Justice Tour is one of the tabs on there. You could RSVP for the event there if you'd like, but you can also take action by signing petitions and even contacting the legislators through that website.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, and we'll see you in Asheville.
Sounds great. Thanks again.
All right. That was excellent. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover that we didn't get to?